Welcome to Knights of Roleplay, an adventuring podcast. This is an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Royalty-free music provided by Kevin MacLeod, Michael Gelfie Studios, Plate Mill Games, and Tabletop Audio. And now, to adventure. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Knights of Roleplay. I'm DM Chris. As our adventure begins, the date is Chargaroth 19th, 3252 AD. We've been traveling for 3 days from the capital city of Shakar on the island continent of Iodor to an area located deep within the cold, snowy lands of White Province. You were sent to White Province by Ophelia, a young clairvoyant and telepath who shares your Dragonclaw birthmark. Her visions have indicated something of great importance in an excavated pit in White Province. Whatever is down there, she's sure it can help stop the rule of the Dragonborn Council. In the late afternoon on your third day of travel, partially frozen zombies emerged from the snow at your feet. Roll initiative!
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think we found out why not many people come back.
Oh, no.
Wait, do I get to re-roll that?
I might have my lucky ability.
That's the same thing as you.
Is initiative considered an ability check?
It's a dexterity check.
Yeah. I think it's
okay. Then I can re-roll a one.
You roll a one.
And I roll a one.
Really?
I am flabbergasted.
Really?
That is poetic justice.
What are zombies?
You obviously do not want to play tonight, so...
You're fired.
Okay, so I mentioned that I was going to have Sarah volunteer to do the initiative. So I have something specifically for that.
Oh! I was about to be like, and I forgot my notebook. Notebook.
I got these initiative markers from an Etsy seller named Dear Koo, I believe. Let me look at the spelling. D-E-A-R-K-O-U. That's an Etsy seller. They're these cool little dry erase things that you can hang over the screen. My light might get in the way of that, but that's good. So, Sarah, I'm going to give these to you. So,
that's fancy.
Because I didn't get the markers.
So, I have like our basic stats on each, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, they do. They have the basic stats.
Yes.
It's pretty nifty.
Put this right here. I'm going to have Sarah basically collect the initiatives and put them in the initiative spot on these dry erase initiative trackers that hang over the screen.
So do I write the actual initiative, like in the Who's a Bobber?
Yes, I would write the actual number as opposed to their modifier.
Okay.
You may hear my daughter Liliana in the background a little bit.
That's okay, we love her.
So Sarah is doing the initiatives. And I got some healing potions here, little glass jars with red D4s in them.
Cool.
So there's one.
Do I even have one?
And two.
We all have them.
I gave you guys each one during
so
session
you should
zero.
Have one.
So we actually break those open if we actually have to use.
Oh yeah, there it is. Come back. Okay.
That I was hungry on the road.
Is very cool.
Four.
Okay. Sight. We have visual props.
Yes. I'll give you props.
Oh.
A-O. Raising the roof. I'm so 90s.
So how are you doing on the initiative cards there?
I haven't asked anybody yet.
Okay.
So Aqua, what's your initiative? Thanks for asking, Aqua. My initiative's 14. Thanks, Aqua. Z, what's your initiative?
Seven.
Seven. Andy!
Thanks for asking, Aqua. My initiative is 3.
Nice. Erebus?
6.
6.
Oh, don't give me that long-suffering sigh.
It's better than Andy.
That is true.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, was that? 3.
There is a 6.
There is a 6.
There's a 7. And I can't believe that I'm highest in this group with a 14.
Huh? Oh, yeah, you're rogue.
Yeah, you're a rogue.
Rogues are usually pretty quick on the trigger. Yeah. You have.
And I'm going to stick this dry erase marker right in my bun.
Yeah. In your bun.
Put on.
Not in my buns. You don't want to get it poopy.
No. Okay.
Did you just hear that right? I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you did. Sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
Change thing.
So I have my initiative markers hanging on the screen. Can people see those from the other side of the screen?
Yeah,
I can see it from the other side.
And I can see which end is the low end, so we're going right to left from our perspective. Okay.
Left to right.
Left to right, whatever. No, we go from lowest to highest.
No, we go from highest to lowest.
Not in my world.
I start high. Thank you very much.
That looks like a great setup for the minis there. We're using the Loki Book of Battle Mats. I believe it's the very first one. Page 54, it looks like. Sarah's going to take some pictures for the Instagram.
What?
Instagram.
Picture lady.
For the gram. I do it for the gram.
It just suddenly got bright.
It did. Okay. So we have our initiative. All right. So first up in this first battle, we have... Aqua, what would you like to do against these snowy, partially frozen zombies?
Snowy, partially frozen zombies. I am going to run up to this one right here.
Okay.
And flashbang boom with my rapier.
You're going to flash him?
With my shiny crystalline bubbas.
There you go.
They are pretty sharp.
Yes, so they are sharp.
Attacking with the rapier?
I'm going to attack with my rapier. So I'm going to grab my d20.
Okay.
And I'm going to grab my d8.
D8.
Two pyramids, ass to ass. And I'm going to roll. I'm not going to get sneak attack because there's no advantage.
No advantage.
And that will be AC 16.
AC 16 does hit.
All right, and that will be 4, 8 plus 3 is 11.
11 damage.
Oof.
11.
Okay, you stab right through the chest of that snowy zombie, and it collapses. You take it off the board, there, Greg. Okay. They're not coming back.
No undead fortitude.
Kind of shatter.
No undead fortitude.
Fragile as glass.
Not for first level fight. Okay. Is that Aqua's turn?
That's Aqua's turn.
Okay.
An effective turn that was.
We're going to the snow zombies. So let's see. Why don't we have two of those zombies move up to Aqua? Yep, looks good. Two zombies. So we'll take some swings. Using my core D20. Here we go. First attack on Aqua from the zombie. That is AC 7.
That's going to miss.
And then other attack. Natural 1.
That'll miss.
Let's have... Looks like there's 3 zombies that can move up onto Andy.
Andy,
yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, poor Shorty.
Shardy don't look so happy.
Okay. Attack number 1 is AC 11.
Myth.
Attack number 2, AC 12. This guy is not doing well for me today.
Yes, keep using it.
And then AC 8.
Myth.
These zombies are whiffing like crazy.
Whip.
Right, we'll have 3 Bob of them it. Move up on Erebus.
Bob and Weed.
So we had Aqua, the Shardling Rogue. She went first, and now the Snow Zombies, they attacked Andy, the Halfling Bard. Now they're attacking Erebus, the Dragonborn Fighter. AC 13.
That will miss.
AC 12.
That will miss.
And AC... another natural 1. whiffing like crazy. All right, so we got three more that can go up and attack Z, the root folk monk.
Z.
So three attacks. AC 10.
Oh, miss.
Yeah, and AC. Oh, critical!
Ooh. Oh, no! Womp, 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 womp.
You can take 4 points of damage.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Not bloody yet. Shocking. That's not good.
4 points. And then last one. 4 points is a lot. Yeah. AC 20.
That's not a hit.
That's it. 2 points of damage.
Bloody.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Frayed tree.
So bloody is less than half your maximum hit points. So, I'm sorry, those hits are all cold damage, just in case you have something
I do not that involves like resistance to cold.
No. Okay, so that is the snow zombie's turn. So then we have Z, the root folk monk. Oh, you are up.
All right, so...
That happened really fast that we got really clustered.
I mean,
a couple of them
when I saw
more than
how
30,
the initiative order was, I knew that that was we're gonna get
actually,
swarmed.
It would have been about 30 feet.
We got zombie swarmed. At least we're not like all piecemeal, so we're not all surrounded. But so she's beat up, but she's still smiling and she's having fun because that's who she is, and she's gonna be like, "Hey, I think you over there need to leave the pretty lady alone," and she's gonna reach a long arm out and make a shove attack on that guy.
Okay.
Oh, I'm a pretty lady today.
Yeah. So, that I think is a contested athletics,
I believe.
So, who wants to play nicely with my dice today since the initiative dice didn't? That is going to be a really good. Alright, so yeah. That'll be a 26.
26. You successfully shove that,
okay, that
snow zombie.
Prone, so my little roguey lady is going to.
Did you knock it prone or did you just shove it?
I knocked it prone.
Knocked it prone. Okay, yeah. So it didn't move, it just got.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm choosing to put it right where the roguey lady is going to have advantage on it.
Nice.
And then with her bonus action on arm strike, she's going to swing out with a leggy branch from her knee or something and try to take out one of the ones that's on her.
Okay, sounds good.
Here.
So you did the I Am Groot on the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going for one adjacent to yourself?
Are hitting for D4s right now with the monk damage. So, which Caltrop do I want to play with?
Which Caltrop do I want to play with? I love it.
A lot of the Martian Caltrops. Yeah. One of my really pretty sharp ones. I'll do. Okay.
She's digging for sharp dice.
Looking for sharp corner dice.
That sounds like a really good plan.
Swing it as
they want to dig for the sharp dice.
Critical.
Yay!
So we don't. We just doubled the dice.
I don't remember what we decided.
So that's gonna.
You just multiply the damage by two.
Critical.
Four plus three. So seven.
I don't remember the song we decided.
Seven.
Seven.
I think we bludgeoning. Yeah. I don't think we decided on yet.
Okay, so you smash that zombie and it falls to some broken, frozen pieces.
Okay. No, that's probably correct. All
right, so we'll say it's this one here.
Sure, sounds good. You take that one off the battlefield.
That means I'm worth something.
You are worth something in my book, honey. And so it starts.
And that is your turn, Z?
That is her turn. She's looking real frayed at the edges, but she's good.
Turn,
she's smiling.
That's your turn, Z.
Yeah.
Turn, Z.
That's your turn, Z.
Kind of goes, ha-ha! But, yeah.
All right, so we're on Erebus, Dragonborn Fighter. And Greg, I would like you... So these creatures were probably real people at some point and became undead. So I would like you. There's a bunch of them standing right in front of you. The one that is directly in front of you, I want you to tell me something about this frozen zombie that stands out. That's kind of unique. Something maybe like on their on its person. To describe something interesting about this zombie.
Well, I see that they have these crystal clear blue eyes that are staring at me, and they're haunting and scary at the same time because they're staring back at me and there's no soul there, per se.
Okay. So they have these crystal blue eyes. as they're attacking them. Okay, that's very cool.
So
go ahead and take your turn.
Right. So they're White Walkers.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Greg basically described White Walkers. I'm totally okay.
Thanks,
with
Greg.
That
was it. Here for it.
All right, so the one that's right in front of me that I'm looking at with the blue eyes.
The corner?
Yes. Okay, so that is 20 to hit.
20 does definitely hit.
For 8.
8. So you destroy that zombie.
Nice. Yay. So short sword, Greg?
Yes.
Nice. Short sword attack. Okay, cool.
Let's see. So I think I have another attack.
You do have a bonus action attack.
Did that take it out in one hit?
It did.
Yes. Wow.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
Greg's so big and strong.
Our Erebus does have the two weapon fighting attack style.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, so that one is going to be for 17.
17 will hit.
For 7.
7. You destroy
19. Okay. 19.
You destroy that
plus
one
four,
as well.
Plus 4 to hit. Plus 2.
Oh, shoot. All right.
Goof. So are you attacking with two short swords? Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Grant's going to love playing fighter. I know it.
Yes, I'm already in love.
Tappy McStabberson.
Okay, so then we are on to Andy Halfling Bard.
Okay. For my action, I am...
Bardling, if you will.
Bardling.
Bardling. I like it.
Half bard.
He's either a bardling or hard.
Hard.
I just had like 1 hour of sleep.
Well, at the very least, no one has to get out the bleep button, so.
What are you doing, hard?
Okay, so.
Andy, hard.
Baffling, what are you doing, baffling?
Now, I probably should key my back to the group. I am actually, because I am so crunchy, going to disengage and...
Run away! Okay.
Over here. And then I am going to... let's see, who is in the most trouble here?
I'm hurting, but...
She's bloody.
Probably.
Yeah, she's bloody, but she's not down.
No.
I mean,
so
yeah.
Then I am going to say, some words of encouragement. Keep it up, Z, and give you a Bardic Inspiration.
Okay. Bardic Inspiration, which is a D6 at first
which
level.
Which is a D6 at first level. So
okay. I have a sparkly red D6.
Ooh.
Sparkly, thank you.
Shiny
thing.
Okay,
shiny,
that's turn.
Happy
that is turn. So we are back up to the top for round 2. So we are at Aqua Shardling Rogue.
Aqua turns her beautiful gemstone amethyst eyes towards this frozen zombie on the ground and says, ooh, and goes Stabby McStabberson on the thing on the ground.
With advantage.
With advantage.
And
a sneak attack dice.
Ooh.
Ding. For 12.
For 12?
Plus your modifier.
Oh, plus my modifier. Good. Plus my modifier. Scrolled too far up. 12, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
15.
It was dead.
It's
very dead.
Totally destroyed that tower.
It's very dead. 12 already killed it, so it's very dead. It's extra dead.
It's just a smudge on the snow.
Extra glaived.
Awesome. All right.
And that would be my turn.
That would be turn. So then we go to the snow zombies.
Oh, no.
So let's see. We've got 3 on Z, the root folk monk.
gee, I wonder where those other three are going to go.
Let's see. So, AC 21.
Ah, that hits.
Clausey, with his frozen hand, you take 2 damage.
Okay.
Then natural 1.
Yes.
Then AC 10.
Miss.
All right. So let's see here.
She is barely standing.
Let's move the other two up onto. Who is that over there? Is that the rogue? Okay, yeah, move the other two over there. Yep. There you go. Okay. Looks like we'll have 3 attacks on Aqua, the...
Bring it!
The Sharling Rogue. AC 5.
That'll miss.
AC 15.
That hits.
2 cold damage.
Okay.
And then AC 17.
That hits.
For 2 cold damage.
Okay, Burr.
All right, and what do we got left for Andy? Or
there is still one on the battlefield.
There's one on Erebus.
All three attacked me.
Yeah.
So there's nothing on me.
Nothing on you. Okay.
Because he disengaged.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's one left for
Erebus.
Okay. So here we go. Cold Claw, AC 10.
Miss.
Okay. That is Snow Zombies. Then we're on Z Root Folk Monk.
Okay. I think this time she's going to kind of, like, you picture like the baby Groot yell and be like, rah! And just like long limbs swing out, and she's going to go after 2 of the ones that are on her.
Okay.
So first she's going to swing on
Root Folk Monk.
It's going to hit for AC 16.
16 will definitely hit.
For 7 on one of them.
7 destroys.
7
pile of broken frozen pieces.
Swings back the other way at the one on the other side.
Okay.
It's gonna hit for AC more.
That still hits.
It's gonna hit for 6.
6. That one is also destroyed.
Okay. Kaboof. Kaboosha.
So then that is her. Punch.
Okay. So that was Z Root Folk Monk. Now we're on to Erebus Dragonborn Fighter.
All right, I have one in front of me. All right, so that's going to be 15 to hit.
15 to hit. That does hit.
And for 4.
4. That one is destroyed.
Kapoof.
All right.
These are crunchy.
It's a good thing that they were already freeze-dried.
And you got the one behind?
Do I have the ability to move?
You have one behind
you, actually,
though.
You can move and then attack, yes.
You're going to provoke if you do that, though. Because that one's behind you, cool. Right?
You could go this way and not...
Is that what? Which circle is that one in?
He's actually over here, so you're not actually in melee.
You could still go this way.
Yeah, okay. Then you have a choice. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go with that one on Z.
Thank you.
So that's going to be 22 to hit.
Yeah, definitely hit.
For 7.
7. Destroy.
7.
Nice.
All right.
And is that turn, Erebus?
Yes.
Okay, now we're on to Andy Halfling Bard.
Okay. Make him laugh.
No, he doesn't think that would work for this one. But he does turn to the one next to him and say, "You guys are even more crunchy than me." So, make a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save. Probably not really good. Let's see. 13.
Meets it, beats it. Okay.
Okay.
It did not find that particularly insulting. So, vicious mockery failed.
Vicious mockery.
That was a vicious mock. He's not very hardy.
He's very good natured. He's not very good at insults.
If Erebus were close to him, he would turn around and punch him in the arm. Come on.
You could do better than that.
Okay. So that was Andy. So we are back up to the top of the order. Round 3.
Sorry,
you got more?
Before we get to... I almost forgot that I do have a bonus action. Honestly, what are my bonus actions? No, go ahead. Other than handing out a bardic inspiration, I don't think you need a healing word yet. So, because there's nothing currently engaged with you. So,
okay. All right. So, top of round three, Aqua Shardling Rogue.
Hi.
Hi.
All right. There is a ally within 5 feet of my enemy, so I'm going to go after this guy.
Okay. Do some sneak attack.
Just need some sneak attack, even though I don't have a down dodge.
Awesome.
It's a 19 on the dice.
Oh, nice.
So I'm thinking too. That hits.
Oh, baby.
Yes.
For 10 plus 3 is 13.
Nice.
13, destroy. Poof.
And I think I can use my bonus action to go after it with my dagger, right? I just don't get my extra...
You don't get the damage bonus. Damage modifier.
Okay.
Correct.
Alright, that's a d4, so I go this plus this.
You got it right.
Okay.
That's only a 5 on the dice, though, so
That misses.
So I attempt to go after the second one with my dagger, but
I'm not
looking very well.
This is the AC 10, yeah.
Yeah, AC 10, it's not gonna...
That also misses.
Yeah. Yep. I'm predicting they're an 11. Sounds like a good zombie AC.
I'm sorry. What?
Got cocky.
What AC did you hit?
10.
10 does in fact hit.
For 3.
3 destroyed.
What?
These are probably 1-point minions. That's how Chris throws crabs at us at level 1. It doesn't.
They are indeed minions.
So I hit that one with my rapier, and then I go with my dagger behind me, and it goes quicky.
Even though it's an indirect hit, you're like,
huh? I go, I just scratched it. Jeez, they really are freeze-dried.
Okay, so that was Aqua. That was your turn, right?
Yeah.
So we got 2 left, and they both look like...
That's just one.
One, and it's one just... It's got, zombie. It's got Aqua right,
one
right in
front. One little lonely zombie.
So here we go with 1 claw mark. Natural 1. It's like the 4th one I rolled on this time today. Miss.
That'll miss.
So then we're on to Z, Rootfolk Monk. So
she turns to Erebus and says, oh, come on, I had that guy. And then she's like halfway falling apart and just like hardly even looking behind her, stretches out a long tree limb arm and goes, boof, right down on the final guy.
Yeah, that bardic inspiration is only good for 10 minutes.
It's only good for... Okay, she's going to use it then. Might as well. So she's going to attack the guy that's next to her with her reachy, grabby tree arms. And she's definitely going to hit for like AC 20. It doesn't go on damage, right? It can only go on
only on the hit.
So 21. 26 to hit for,
that's good.
Let's see here, 4.
four damage. 4 is enough. Is enough to show that.
Boink.
Erebus falls to the ground laughing his butt off.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before in my life. Come on, I had him.
You just watch these girls be like... How does Erebus like fighting in there with these ladies?
This is quite fun.
Apparently, I did not put my icy wind... music on into my...
This has been the most zen fight ever.
No. I was playing combat music.
Okay, yeah.
But now that we're out of combat, I want to put on the...
We don't have our
icy wind music. I didn't put it on my podcast player, no.
Oops.
Oh, that's okay.
Because we did Zoom last time, so I just took the track. Mm-hmm. So that was the combat.
This is adequately melancholy.
let's see. So among the zombies' possessions, you find that one of them is wearing a suit of finely crafted leather armor.
Nice.
Finely
crafted. Still in good condition.
Yes.
This poor zombie must not have been out here for very long.
I mean, you're kind of looking through all their stuff, and like for the most part, you know, they're just frozen, and a lot of them are in pieces now. But then there's this one that stands out, where it's like The armor is covered in like ice and snow, but you kind of take a closer look, you brush some of the snow away, and it looks like it's very, very much intact and in very good condition.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something I can use, but I'm sure one of you could.
I mean, I'm in leather, so I don't know if it's magic leather.
I
don't have a way to detect that.
I mean, we can check it out after all this. Later.
Yeah. Take it with us and we'll check it out when we take a break.
Aqua have for armor?
I'm going to put on Ice Cavern and see if that is a.
What does Aqua have for armor?
Appropriate.
I'm wearing.
I have light arm. I don't know.
That's your equipment?
I'm proficient in light armor. I'm too much alcohol in the afternoon.
St. Patty's Day. It's a good day for us.
It is St. Patty's Day. This is true. I have leather armor. I don't think I have it equipped, though.
Well.
What's your armor class? Zero?
See what your AC is after you
Jeez.
Oh, I know why I don't have it equipped. I know why I don't have it equipped. Because I have a class ability that if I don't wear my armor, I have a better AC.
At least for now.
So I do not need your armor, thank you. Because I have a crystalline skin. Quote unquote. Because I'm a construct.
Sharklings
have a class ability.
Yeah. Have a racial ability that gives them.
We should pack it
a base armor class.
Check it out later. Nothing else, we could probably sell it.
I remember now because I had to make an adjustment.
So I'm going to tell you that this was off of Andy's wish list.
As in good armor.
Yes.
Yes.
Finally crafted leather armor.
So, in other words, you're sure for sure.
I'll go ahead and take it.
The dungeon master specifically looked at your DM at your magic item wish list and gave you leather armor from your wish list.
My wish list
in
was
to other words, Andy, you're supposed to take this.
Yeah, I'll take your armor, Gish.
Andy, take it, Shrek. Oh my god.
That's it. We're not using wish list. It's too complicated. John has broken it.
Because I start with leather armor, but I still only have an AC of like 13, so I was hoping for something better.
Yes, that's kind of this cool. Armor is better.
It is better. Okay. That's kind of what I thought.
Homegird.
Homegird. That's okay. Because what I hadn't gotten to yet was on our next short break, I was going to spend time to identify to see if it was magic.
Oh my god.
I mean, we just haven't gotten to that yet.
I don't think we have to take a short. She's like falling apart. She's just like,
I don't think we need to take a short break. She's trees splintering.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you're nearly like, girdled.
I think
so
we
let's
got
go.
It. No, I think we got this.
Okay, so.
Aqua's holding her together.
Bant tape.
So we had agreed to go to second level after the fight.
Yay!
Da, da, da. So you guys are now second level. I don't know if you need to do anything.
Okay.
Briefly. In your character sheets
here. I basically get key points now.
I just looked at my notes.
Are you going to roll that I have my key points, or do I have to long rest to get them?
What's the question, Greg?
Did you take the magic thing off the notes? Because it's not on my notes.
I got cunning
what
action.
Are you, I don't
the
know what
wish
you're
list,
asking.
Did you take it off the notes that really I put nice under notes under the other?
I looked at everybody's characters and tried to find magic item wish lists. John was the only person who really seemed to have something specific.
Gotcha.
Was looking for.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm pretty sure I looked at yours. I looked at Kate's.
I haven't put it yet. I'm gonna do like bracers of defense.
Sarah didn't have one. Kate didn't
I
have
definitely
one.
Don't have
I
one.
I don't know if you had one, Greg. But if you did, I don't think it had anything specific
I don't think
enough on
anything
it.
Anything in there? Because okay. I just looked at it.
Yeah, I think John was the only one who had a wish list. So I took an item and I put it in the game.
Get my key features and my mobility increases.
Let's find a little ice cave and take a short rest, and we can do our level up.
Okay. So.
Excuse me. You're welcome. You're not excused.
I'm disgusting. What can I say?
All right, fine. I'll excuse you.
It's okay. Anybody that's been listening to us since the beginning knows that I'm kind of cute, kind of disgusting.
So you continue in the direction that...
Don't we just automatically get the average number of hit
points? Correct. Correct.
So it's weird. My con modifier doesn't seem to be...
So you continue in the direction that Ophelia had mentioned... And eventually you come to a huge excavated pit in the ice and snow. It has been carved into a seemingly endless expanse of glacial ice. Large fissures traverse the ice, and the curved roofs of yurts dot the frozen landscape nearby. A wooden scaffold has been built along the edge of the excavation, and a ramp follows the wall deep into the pit. At the lowest level of the excavation, buried under ice, a surface of smooth black metal has been revealed. A large crack is the only mark on the structure's surface. So essentially, you come up to this area where the excavated pit is. You know, you see a large opening in the ice. You see the yurts sort of all around in the general vicinity.
Okay.
And looking down into the excavated pit, you see that there are like scaffolds built along the wall. So it looks like, you know, people are obviously digging here. They have a way to get down safely to where you see this black metal surface with a crack in it.
Okay.
So it's basically like a big funnel. You're at the top of the funnel, and the funnel goes down and gets smaller and smaller until you get to this area that's maybe
sure.
That's bless you, John.
So it's a secret funnel.
Now our zombie attackers, did they look like they could have been like excavation workers? Were they wearing like attire in keeping with that?
That's
a very personal question.
It is you think it's possible. I mean you weren't so far away from the pit.
Yeah.
That is an unreasonable assumption. They could have been the people that were using the yurts, you know, for you know, to live in while excavating and while trying to research what was going on here. It is possible that those zombies were previously here at this site.
Yeah,
you don't know for sure, but it's a reasonable assumption.
Okay.
Yes.
What do they say about assumptions?
And the structure in the ice, I specifically pulled from. Mike Shea's Fantastic Locations, which is something that he sells on the Sly Flourish website, if people are interested. I've made some slight modifications to it to sort of go in line with my campaign world and my story, but I mean, I'm largely using the structure in the ice from Fantastic Locations from Mike Shea from the Sly Flourish website.
Please sponsor us.
Oh my god. Shameless sponsor. Quest.
So you're basically up around this excavated pit. You're up at the top of the funnel. What would you like to do?
Slide down and say we.
I would still like to take that, I'd still like to take that short rest.
You guys tell me what you want to do.
And for all of her bluster, she'll go along with that. She's falling apart.
I yell down there. Hello, hello, hello.
I do not.
That seems like something I would do.
I want to hear an echo, so I yell.
There is a little bit of an echo off of the walls as it goes down, but there's really, you don't hear anything. It just goes down to like a black surface where there's some sort of a... crack in this black surface.
Pull him back before he can like... toss his dumb self down there.
Slip and fall down.
Yeah, right. And encourage us back towards a safe spot so we can take that short rest.
Yeah.
Sure, if you want to go to where the yurts are, the yurts were basically like a living area.
Shelters. Okay.
Shelters, yeah. If you guys want to hang out there.
Like a wise plan.
I will take a look around first, make sure there's nobody there, like, ready to, like, surprise us.
Or come up out of the ice.
All right, are you, like... physically interacting with the yurts and looking through them, or are you just doing a visual inspection?
I would like to do an actual search.
Okay, why don't you make investigation check for
Why don't I help you?
Sure, you can do it with advantage if you want.
Is that what you like to do?
Sure.
Okay. Investigation?
Mm-hmm. Investigation.
Investigation. A 12 and a 12, which mm-hmm. makes an 11.
An 11.
I didn't say it was good in investigation.
I'm not either.
I'm not much better.
So, I mean, the two of you start kind of looking through and going into the yurts, and, you know, some of them are a little bit ripped apart, and there's holes through them. You can see right inside of them. Some of them are mostly intact, but you don't really find anything interesting. You find, like, some, like, frozen meat and like, some...
Like frozen people meat?
No.
Or
no.
Frozen provisions.
No, like frozen provisions.
Okay. That can be unfrozen.
You find some animal hides that people were probably wearing that have just been in there for a long time.
I'll grab an animal hide from my dumbass friend over here.
I'm dancing around.
Oh my god.
It's cold outside. It's a good time.
So you basically assess the area with the yurts and find things that I just mentioned, and there's nothing really else going on there.
Okay.
You can take a rest there, and you make it through the hour without difficulty.
Okay.
And John Andy is sitting with the armor and trying to identify its properties.
Correct.
Okay. So you find that the armor is it is evolving leather armor of Agathys.
Oh, interesting.
I'm trying to think. I think I might have actually made a custom item in D&D Beyond. I'm trying to think, like, being a dad with a baby and a toddler.
Yep, evolving leather armor of Agathys.
It's a little harder to put these adventures together, hence the not icy music that I wanted to have from the last adventure.
We're so disappointed in you.
Doing the best I can as a stay-at-home dad with a baby and a toddler. But it is evolving leather armor of Agathys. So basically, it gives you, and I put in bold letters, intended for John's character, Andy. So it gives resistance to cold damage.
Cool.
And it gives a bonus to AC equal to the wearer's proficiency bonus.
Nice.
So when I say evolving, will grow as your proficiency bonus increases.
Nice.
That's pretty sexy.
That is pretty sexy. That's very sexy. That's
smexy. It can cast the spell Armor of Agathys, which is why it is evolving leather armor of Agathys, using a number of charges equal to the wearer's proficiency bonus. So that will also grow. So basically, it's one spell level per charge. So right now, your proficiency bonus is 2. Mm-hmm. So it has +2 bonus to AC and 2 charges per day. So you can cast Armor of Agathys as a second level spell or 2 different times as a first level spell. And then it resets the charges at dawn.
Nice.
So Armor of Agathys, I believe, gives you like 5 temporary hit points per level of the spell. And if a creature hits you and you have those, they take like that much damage.
5 cold damage.
Yep. 5 cold damage, or 10 cold damage if you're using the second level version of it.
Oh. Cool.
And I thought that would be appropriate because you guys are in the snowy white province.
Yep.
And so it basically covers the armor in this layer of spiky, cold, sort of icy substance. And then when people hit you, they take cold damage from it.
Nice.
Nifty.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So look in D&D Beyond and see if I made it.
I've already got it in my inventory.
Awesome.
As you were explaining it to me, I was putting it into my inventory.
Awesome.
And reading it, yes. Reading it, I bet.
So that is, so just for the rest of you, that is John putting something on his wish list and getting something for his wish list.
So put things on your wish list.
That makes me want to put things on my wish list, but I'll probably still forget.
That's okay.
Because I'm me, and I have a block of Swiss cheese in my head.
I like that, Sarah.
I just put it in the notes.
Brain. And I'm not even a parent.
Do the thing. That's right. Use your inspiration.
Give me my inspiration. Give me my inspiration back.
So you guys have taken your short rest.
In the yurts,
and you've identified the armor,
which is awesome armor. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you basically have this excavated pit
Sarah's this music is really fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's
freaking
she's
creepy.
Down in the office thing.
Where's the
Sorry, I have a potty mouth.
I'm about to
is that dessert it on
Ice Cavern.
It's rated M for mature.
Its frosting is rated S for sugar.
I know.
I'm now adding frosting to the mix of alcohol, lack of sleep, and punchiness.
So, now a sugar high.
Ha-ha!
So, all right, so you got a big excavated pit with scaffolding that goes down. I mean, it still looks somewhat perilous, but it was obvious that this was what they were using to get down to this black metal surface with the crack in it. So it is like hundreds of feet down into this funnel, into this pit. So how would you like to proceed?
Well, from the top of the pit, I would like to at least begin by giving it a thorough visual inspection.
Yes?
Just make sure that the scaffolding looks to be roughly intact, see if I can spy anything that might be waiting for us down there. That kind
okay.
of thing.
Make a perception check.
A perception check. 12.
Okay. So it's pretty much what I just said. Like you see the scaffolding. It's there to allow access to the bottom of the funnel. It looks like it might be precarious in some spots because it has not been really kept up. People haven't been using it, so there are patches of ice and whatnot. You think that if you move slow enough that you could get down it without like slipping and falling to your death.
Okay.
But you think that you would have to move slowly and carefully.
How deep is the pit overall?
How deep is your pit?
It's probably about I would say 200 feet.
Ooh, okay.
200 feet down.
Well, we should probably take it slow and careful, but I think we'll be okay if we just, don't slip on the ice.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so you begin slowly moving down the excavation pit towards this crack in the black metal surface. And you see, in the walls... you see the remains of, like, what looks to be some people, like, frozen into the wall at various points as you're climbing down.
I would like to take a closer look at one, see if I can get a, see if I know anything that might tell me, like, how long they've been there. Like, is their clothing a particular era or something?
Yeah,
like that.
I can help with that. I have survival, if that helps.
What is it you're trying to determine?
There are people in the wall. Are they recent entombments, or are they look like they've been there for a while?
Why don't you make we'll say a nature check.
Nature check.
Yeah, to see how
I suck at
you
nature.
Want me to help you with that, or do you want to help me with that?
Are you better at nature?
I'm proficient at nature, and I'm even more proficient at survival, depending on what's the best flavor for this.
Okay.
I mean, if
he asked for a nature check.
Z? I can do nature.
Yeah. Z, do you think you can take a look at these?
I can try.
And I'll
use
nature.
See how long they've been here? That's what you're trying to figure out?
I don't know how metagaming works, but
that's fine.
Do their faces look like terror, like they were caught in there, or?
Okay, so
13.
Not necessarily. No, they're just kind of blank.
Okay.
Kind of expressionless. What'd you get?
13.
Yeah. You're not sure. I mean, you're not an expert, but you would guess. With the rate of decay, well, I mean, they're frozen, so there actually really isn't a whole lot.
But there's desiccation and stuff.
There is, yeah. I mean, you'd say maybe like a year, you maybe would guess that they've been frozen.
All right. Maybe been here like a year or something. Maybe.
Okay, so we're not in immediate danger of the wall suddenly eating us? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this is immediate danger with these frozen people here.
Well, I didn't say no danger.
Yeah. I mean, we were warned at the fire that people don't come back from this place, but I figure that's just the zombies that normally did that to everybody else. I'm not sure.
I mean, some of them seem like they are in odd positions, as if maybe they had tripped or fallen and like landed and got stuck, or somehow, I mean, you're not sure how a person could get in these odd positions, just sort of stuck into the wall.
Well, let's keep going, but don't touch the walls.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you go down, it's probably close to 200 feet, and you maybe see like three or four bodies. Okay. It's not like there's like hundreds of
okay.
Okay.
You find like three or four on the way down.
I wonder if something froze them into the wall.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Mm-hmm. It could be they were just not careful enough, or maybe something weird could happen to them.
Or it could be we're making a bigger deal of something than this.
Running from a dragon or something.
You find a chair.
Make ice.
We spend an hour examining the chair. Okay, so you
or
go.
The walls have grown over time.
I don't know. This is true. To say the least.
I mean, water is quite like crystals. It does develop into ice. Ice is a crystalline nature. It grows.
Yeah.
Well, I, for one, don't think I would want to be frozen in the wall looking like I was trying to do something.
I'm not sure that you would ever look like you're doing something.
That could be very true.
Yeah.
So you get down to the bottom, going slowly and carefully, moving past the couple of bodies that you find in the walls, and you're down at the surface with this black metal with a crack in it. So the area that is uncovered is probably about a 10-foot square. I mean, it's not exactly square, but it's approximately, you know, a 10-foot area, and there's a crack in it, and you don't see any light coming from the crack. How would you like to proceed?
I want to examine the crack. I've been waiting to say that for like 10 minutes!
Can you make a grope check?
Yes! Wow. What skill would that be?
Is there a plus one to groping?
Do you want to investigate or just kind of look closely? Perception or investigation, whichever you would like.
I would like to perceptify the crack.
Okay, go ahead and perceptify the crack.
I'm gonna perceptify the crack. Damn. That would be a 12, sir.
A 12.
A 12th perceptifying the crack.
I guess what I would say is that, like, you don't see any signs as to how the crack was formed. It seems to be somewhat uniform, so it wasn't like there was some kind of like an explosive force that like shattered it. You know, if that were the case, it would be more like a hole, was what I was trying to say. But because it's a crack, you think that maybe there was one hard impact that just like knocked a piece out of it, as opposed to like somebody trying to use an explosive or something to get through. That's about all you can really get with the 12.
Her passive's 14. I don't know if that crosses the...
If people want to use their passives rather than...
Passive's 13, but...
Yeah, if you roll lower than your passive for perception, I'm fine with using the passive.
I'd like to investigate the metal itself. Because it seems kind of weird to just have this big metal thing under the ice to me.
Do you want to put your tongue on it?
No. That seems like a very bad idea.
Probably not a good idea.
But it might get stuck to it because, you know, the Christmas Story movie, you know?
Yep. And don't put your pee-pee on it either.
Whoa.
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 Save that for the crack.
Yes.
Oh. Whoa. Yikes.
I believe as a crystalline construct.
Yes.
I know the light cantrip, correct?
I believe that is part of the Shardling racial features, yes.
Can I actually use the light cantrip to see if I can see anything within the crack?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to try to do that.
Okay. And what was it you were saying you wanted to do? You wanted to check out the metal?
The metal itself, to see what is... what. Great, it's a crack in metal. What is a metal what?
Like, if there's anything special right. about the metal.
Like, is it made of steel? Like, is it made of
iron
or something like that? Yeah.
Or any markings on it?
Okay.
Any kind of...
go ahead and make an investigation check.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only ask because there's no, like, spells
can I help
on my list because I'm a rogue.
18.
So.
Right. It should be a racial feature, though. It should be something you can use.
Yes,
but it may not...
It's listed not, in my racial features, but it's not, like...
Not in your spells.
There's no spell tab.
I gotcha.
So...
I gotcha.
It's weird.
It's a cantrip anyway, yeah. So...
You still have it, though. You definitely still have it.
That's what I had to do with mine for the custom
race. It's tricky making custom races in D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
Okay, so... What did you roll, John?
18.
Okay. So... It is not a metal that you have ever seen before.
Mm.
You're not quite sure what the composition of it is, what the makeup of it is. You know, it's kind of like, I guess I would say almost like obsidian, but it's not. It's not something you've ever encountered before. It is some kind of an unknown black metal.
Okay, so
So it's a band.
Yeah.
Sorry. How much?
And apparently the music I chose has bats, so we're going to say there are bats flying.
There's bats in the ice cave.
We're going to say there's bats in the ice cave.
Does anybody in the group have good knowledge of history?
So hold on. So, Aqua, you use the light cantrip, and you can basically see that the crack goes down maybe about 6 feet and then opens up, and the light kind of shines, and you kind of... I think light is like 20 feet clear and 20 feet dim. I think 20 feet bright, 20 feet dim. I think is what it is. So it goes down about 40 feet.
Yes, and you're correct, yes.
And your passive perception was 13. Okay. So you do see a couple of bats flying around in there, which is weird because it's really... This is a frozen area.
Right.
But... You do actually see and hear some bats down there, and you think that maybe just barely, like beyond the vision of your light, beyond the range of your light, there's like a dark shape, like a very large dark shape, but it's just outside of the range of your light, so you're not quite sure what it is.
Let's see here. She's going to twist out some extra branches and like basically form a torch and use druidcraft cantrip to light the torch. And then she's going to stretch a long arm 15 feet down.
Did I describe that to you?
That's it.
What?
I don't know. Did you?
What's what? I'm sorry, what?
I'm being a bitch. Yes, I described it to you.
So you're trying to get a little further down.
I'm trying to get a little closer without us actually going through the entrance.
You can just drop something bright down there.
I mean, you can cast light on any kind of an object and just drop it.
I don't have light, but if you guys do.
I mean, I have
I just use the light cantrip.
Okay.
I'll put the light cantrip on a shard that I produce out of my body.
There you
drop
go.
Drop it down.
Nice.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Awesome.
So it falls. How long does the shard last? Did I write that in there somewhere?
It disappears if it loses contact with me for more than a few seconds.
Okay. All right.
So I guess it depends on how long it falls.
Okay. So you produce a shard from your body, and you cast light on it, and you drop it down there. And we'll say it goes down about maybe 60 or so feet, so you get like an 80-foot view, which is more than what you had before. And you see what looks like maybe the top of some kind of a statue, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Again, I mean, you're looking at it...
Creepy music, man.
Right.
You're looking at it from directly above,
right.
And... somewhere down around 60 feet, the shard disappears because that's part of the sharding thing.
Okay.
But you think you can make out some kind of like a monument or a statue or something. It seemed to shine with a similar light as our cat is meowing. It kind of reflects a similar light as to the metal surface that you're seeing up here. So you think it's probably made of the same metal as what you're seeing up here. The same black metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's this. How widely known is the world history that is in the document that we read and the intro that you made? Like, is it widely known that there was, like, a platinum age and stuff like that? Or is that something that probably only certain, like, highly scholarly people would have?
I would say the general populace probably doesn't know.
Okay.
It's not information that's super hard to find, but it's something where a lot of scholars, historians, would be aware of that.
Yeah. I mean,
so it's in the realm of the academia.
I debated taking history for this character, but
us being plain folk probably wouldn't know a lot about it.
You probably wouldn't know the extent of the history. Sure. Okay. But you could always make a history check, and I could see how that works.
Can a person fit through this crack?
Yes. Yes, a person could fit through this crack. It's about 6 feet deep, and it is maybe about 9 feet long. And it's probably about 3 or 4 feet wide at its widest point.
Okay, so we could chimney down even if we wanted to.
People could fit through there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen a way to land anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we have some rope that we know. We have scaffolding around here to tie it to.
We can put some rope up and go down. I mean, she told us that there was something important we needed to find here, right? So.
I'm probably going to sidetrack things a little bit, but is there anything around an indicator of who the excavators are, other than just the scaffolding that we climbed in? Like tools or...
I mean, there are a couple of basic tools. You know, there are like... there's like a couple of bits of rope that are kind of like frozen into the ice right here near the crack.
Yeah.
There's like a pickaxe, you know, that was kind of frozen into the ice right here. Things that people were probably using when they were trying to get down to or through this crack as well.
All right. Okay. So, but no, like, indication of like royal seals or anything like that.
No.
Okay. Just normal tools.
Yep.
Nothing
useful. Just normal tools. Yep.
Okay. Well, that being the case, I say we just go ahead and grab some of our rope out of our backpacks, string it together, throw it down the hall.
Okay. Throw it down the hall. All right, so you use your climbing gear, and you start to make your way down. So you basically get down.
Get big.
Sorry.
So you get down maybe. You get down to about the 80-foot mark, and you basically see what looks like the head of a statue, made from the same black metal.
Are we talking? No, when we say head of a statue, are we talking head or head?
It's very, very large.
Very, very large.
It's okay. Very large. Let me see if I can actually find a description of this room in this fantastic locations thing here.
Why
do
I feel like
Bailey's
about to come out of the woodwork?
Some
alienness. Because our DM likes sci-fi.
That was a fun campaign, playing the alien world.
Let's see.
Points of light, but spacefarers.
So, a massive statue of a featureless humanoid stands at the center of the chamber. Its arms are outstretched, with long, gnarled fingers hanging down.
Long, gnarled fingers hanging down.
Actually, hold on. I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
Its arms are outstretched, period. No gnarled fingers.
Okay, well, I do have...
No gnarlies.
So, between the two of us having a light cantrip, a light source shouldn't be a problem.
Right. No, not at all.
I would like to see if I recognize the statue as some sort of historical figure.
Okay, make a history check.
I will make a history check.
Ugh.
7. Raw's a bad roll.
7. You're not sure if this is like a specific person, if this is like a shrine or a dedication to somebody, a king or something. You're not really sure. It's pretty featureless, kind of vague.
Okay.
And it's just this big black statue made of that same black metal.
So it looking like a map.
It looked like a humanoid figure.
Okay.
Trying to decide what the history of her tree folk people, if she would try to pour through her memory or not. Yeah.
I feel like
you don't trust Andy.
I feel like I want to touch it.
Gotta touch it.
Oh boy. Are we still dangling on the rope?
You're still dangling.
I'm imagining we're still dangling.
Let's try to get down the ground.
Far up. Let's try to keep going down. That my arm's getting dark.
Okay.
I mean, we only come with like 50 to 100 feet of rope each, right?
We're gonna have to.
Which we can string it, which we're strung together.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. I said that's what
we
I was
didn't
saying.
Discuss this. I'm just saying we didn't discuss this.
You can go back on the recording. Yeah. I explicitly said that we can tie the ropes together.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you guys have enough rope to string it together. That's what I was assuming you were going to do.
Yeah. I didn't assume.
Not one of those DMs.
That makes an ass out of you and me.
I just say give me enough rope. I'm coming through.
Did I mention
through.
That I'm in my bitch quest campaign?
So you get down to the bottom of the chamber.
Greg and I changed roles.
I see.
In case you didn't notice.
I am having an immense amount of fun.
So you get down to the bottom of this monument, the statue, and you're basically in this big domed room. And you're at the bottom of the dome. You're at the feet of this figure.
Wow.
I guess it's feet.
This is incredible.
Is it wearing a giant top hat?
No.
It's not Doug Dimmadome? No.
Boo.
I'm
going to boo that.
Yeah.
Boo.
So the statue is about, it's somewhere around 150 feet tall.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's big.
I'd like to perceptify the room.
You can perceptify the room. I mean, you only have so much light. It only goes 20-40.
I'll spread out from you so that we have like 40-80
more coverage.
So dim light versus like, you know, like a temple kind of lighting where it's like very
I'm imagining
dark.
The room itself is dark.
The only light that's coming from anywhere is from you guys.
Oh, okay.
Coming from you guys.
How good are the acoustics here?
They're pretty good. You can hear a lot of echoing in, when you're speaking.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
God help us all.
Ollie, Ollie, Oxford free.
John is miming like he's about to play his lyre.
I can't think of anything.
We didn't bring his guitar.
I haven't taught him how to play it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you start
to
basically.
Stop him before.
I know.
I'd like to start with a perimeter of the room to see what the exits are.
Sure.
Make sure that we're not going to get jumped by something.
Sure, sure.
If he heads north, I'll head south, and we'll kind of like do.
Yeah, I'm going with him.
Okay.
I guess I'll take the
such disparagement.
I don't want to call you a barbarian, but, you know.
No, I'm not a barbarian. I'm a fighter.
Because you're not a barbarian, the brute. Mm. I'll take the brute with me, I guess.
So you cover the perimeter of the room, and you see that there are what look like doors. We'll say to the north. We'll say to the east and the west.
East and west, okay.
There are doors. But what you see, let's see, they are made of sort of the opaque black metal material that is the same as the dome, the surface of the dome and the surface of the figure. And the doors are triangular shaped doors. And they're just kind of flat triangular shapes, and they have like a couple of like seams through them at like different angles. And there looks to be some kind of a panel next to these two triangular doors. Each one has like a panel next to it,
almost like a control panel.
Yeah, I mean, you would assume so.
Can I take an attempt at trying to identify the metal?
Sure. Sure.
What, you don't trust me?
No.
as a non-humanoid, mm-hmm. yep. I'd like to believe that I might know more about metals and crystalline things. So no, I don't trust him. Okay. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Go ahead. I would say if you want to make
in a character perspective.
Sure.
Don't yeah. worry. I am only as offended as I need to be. So
you can be offended. She doesn't. She's doesn't care. Did I mention I'm in my villain stage?
Why don't you make an investigation check with we'll say with advantage.
Okay. I mean, she grew up in a lab.
Dark Aqua.
Well, I'm glad I had advantage because I rolled a 1 and a 17. So that'll be a 16 for investigation.
Okay, 16. 16. So, again, you've never encountered anything like this, but I will say that you said you were created in a lab, right? I will say that at one point you saw something in the lab briefly that your creators were studying that was some kind of like a black metal. Like you didn't really get a chance to like study it yourself. Mm-hmm. You saw them sort of experimenting on it and trying to figure out what it was. So I would say that in that regard, you have seen it once before in the lab where you were created, but you don't really know anything else about it. But they had a piece and they were trying to figure out what it was.
Hmm.
So it's not completely unheard of for you, but you don't really have any other information.
Okay. So I'll say that while I'm walking around and studying these doors and actually, like, looking at this more closely, that I kind of have a flash to my time in the lab.
Sure.
And when we all kind of come back together and we're kind of discussing the doors, that I'll share that with the group. I actually remember a metal similar to this. I don't remember actually getting a chance to study it myself, so I don't have any kind of database on it, but
you did see them handling it, though, so it wasn't like touching it was a problem. You saw right. them handling it.
Yeah, but I remember my creators handling a similar type of metal to this.
Hmm.
I feel like it's been studied before, so I don't feel like this site is something brand new.
Right? Well, that would make sense with a lot of what we saw out there. It looked like a lot of that scaffolding there had been out there for quite some time.
Making me
where
wish.
Was this lab? Roughly.
Well, I mean, we all come from the same sector.
Do we?
Is it the Black? Is the lab in Shakar, or were you from one of the provinces originally? I mean, I started in Green Province. This is making me wish I paid more attention when my elders in the tree village tried to teach me history, and
because it's
when the monastery tried to teach me history.
When they were touching this metal, what was their reaction to it? Were they afraid of it, or did they see
No, they were simply studying it, like they did most of our creations. I was created there.
I just find it fascinating, this. If somebody at a lab in a different province was working on the same metal, then that means that whoever was studying this was either... It means either all the provinces have been working together to study this, or somebody not affiliated with any of the normal labs or government-run labs would actually have been working with it.
Well, even after we're created, we were shipped off to another province to be trained.
Hmm.
So I can't imagine that things wouldn't be brought into our lab from other places to be studied.
Yeah. Were there any glyphs or, like, writing on any of these things as we toured around? on the statue, on the walls, on the door frames.
Oh, I haven't quite gotten to the statue yet. I was going to try to perceptive.
We've kind of just done the perimeter, I think, at this point, right?
True. Correct. Yeah. There's some sort of symbolism on the door, on the triangular door, and a little bit on the pad next to it, but it's nothing that you recognize. There's nothing on the statue. It's pretty plain. There are some like geometric symbols on the walls in here. But again, it's like none of it really seems to make sense based on any of the knowledge that any of you have.
Damn, I didn't take comprehend
language. You know, it doesn't look like, you know, I mean, you've all probably seen like Elven script. So if you saw this, you wouldn't be able to read it, but you're like, oh yeah, that's Elven. None of this really makes sense with what you know.
Ophelia told us we'd recognize what we were looking for when we saw it or something like that, right? Am I remembering that right, or am I...
Well, I'd say this whole place probably qualifies.
I don't think that she said that, but I don't have perfect recall on it.
I don't recall it, yeah. Fuzzy.
She just said something down here. I mean, she may have said that, but you're not 100% sure.
I don't think it's the statue, although we can check out the statue a little
more. Well, of course
we
can check out the statue.
Yeah, but then...
You can also try to reach out to her by trying to think to her. Because she said that she thought she's still learning about her powers, but she thinks that she can communicate over long distances with you through telepathy.
Well, if you guys want to check out the statue,
yeah,
I would like to take some time to actually like study one of these pads.
Sure.
Cool.
So you're looking. So Aqua's looking at the panel by the door, and Andy's looking at the statue. Is that right?
Yep. Okay.
Circumnavigating?
The base of the statue.
Trying to help him perceptify.
I'm just standing there.
Like, bow at its feet or something.
Like, is it on a pedestal or is it just standing on the floor?
No, it's just standing on the floor.
Just standing on the floor.
Just standing on the floor, yep.
Okay.
Kiss its feet.
No, it's metal is cold.
Okay, so what are you doing with regard to the panel, Sarah? What is Aqua doing?
I wish I didn't name her Aqua, because now every time you say her name, I'm like, Aqua Teen Hummer Force.
Well, it's Aquila on here.
It's Aquila, but it's Aqua for short.
Yeah.
I have metagaming. I have a feeling that the door opens on the seams. I want to study the panel and see if I can try and figure out, like, how it works. So.
It's good that you're doing it, because the tree would just be pushing buttons.
I
want to try and figure out how the panel would operate. See if the panel operates the door.
So do you touch it?
That was my next question.
I'm going to study it first.
Yes.
And then potentially touch it, yes. Okay. Maybe even try to, like, hack it, if you will, in rogue terms.
Okay. I don't need you to make a roll or anything for it. It seems pretty obvious that it is the control panel.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing about it you do notice is that it's very large. And it's, like, how tall are you? Like, 6 feet? Approximately, I think.
I think I went... Did I actually put this in? Hold on.
You said 6 feet last time.
I think so.
I said 6 feet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I actually did put it in.
Yay.
I'm 6 feet tall.
Tonger. Okay, so basically it's probably about 3 foot by 3 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to kind of put your hand up above your head to touch it. And it looks like it's just a simple mechanism. It basically looks like a button. It's like a really big button that you just press on.
Okay.
The door itself, you said it's big. Is it as big as the statue?
It is not quite as big as the statue, but it is very tall. It probably goes up about... probably goes up about 80 feet. Maybe 100 feet.
Oh, some big, tall people.
We might be in, like, a storage room or something.
So insane.
Anyway,
while you and I are roving the statue,
we are, but we did see
the wheels are turning like crazy, and she's going to be like, "Hey, psychic lady, just thinking to herself, we're somewhere interesting now. Do you see something that should be important?
So you hear Ophelia's voice come through your head, and she says, give me a moment and I will look through your eyes if you give me permission to do so.
Very well.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
So you get like a an odd tingling sensation, sort of like in your eyes. And she says to you telepathically, I'm not exactly sure what I am looking at, but I have a sense that you are very much in the right place. You are close to whatever the object is that I saw in my vision.
You have any sense of direction? We've got two choices here.
Huh?
I thought they were only east.
He said
west.
East, west, north.
East and west.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He changed his mind. He did say north at first, but he changed his mind.
Okay.
I said north, south, and I was like, let's do east, west. Yeah.
North, south is boring. East, west, that's exciting.
I'm afraid I can't give you more of a bearing.
Alright. This stuff is really big.
So, Sarah, were you reaching up to touch the panel?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm touching it.
Okay. So the door, it opens from the center like a three-bladed iris.
That's what I thought.
And basically, you know, they slide and recess into the walls. And there's more. There's like a hallway made of the same black metal that goes beyond the door.
Whoa, what was that noise?
Door's open.
Door's open.
I'm going to say opened the west.
Let's go check it
west
out.
West door.
Okay. So,
Anything interesting about the statue that I haven't already seen, basically? If there's no pedestal, then probably not.
No.
But I thought maybe it was like on a pedestal. That might be interesting.
No.
But.
No, it doesn't have like a placard or anything like that. It's not up on a dais.
Okay.
Or anything. So there's nothing of particular interest there.
Okay, let's move on from the statue then.
Okay.
I tell the others that I'll just talk to Olivia, and she looked through my eyes. Freaky, by the way.
Ophelia.
Ophelia. Sorry, I can't talk. And then
is her last name?
She says
John?
She feels like we're in the right place.
Okay.
So at least that's good.
Well, I could have told you that.
So I'd like to end the adventure right there as you guys are moving into that door to continue to check out this area. Let's do some stars and wishes real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to touch it all.
Okay. Sarah, do you have any stars and wishes? Stars are things you liked. Wishes are things you would like to see. You don't have to have anything.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Stars. Totally that the tree was just whomping people behind her back during the middle of the battle. That's totally badass. And wishes would be that Aqua maybe grows a heart.
That's all on you.
I know that's on me, but I'm kind of enjoying playing her as kind of a cold, almost robotic,
prickly.
I mean, she literally is a hunk of rock right now. So hopefully you guys can help her grow a bit of warmth. But
okay.
That's my
okay.
That's me right now.
Okay, do you have any stars or no wishes?
I mean, I'm still loving the party dynamic and how different it is on the whole. I'm enjoying everybody's differences. So. yeah, that's great. And then, I mean, wishes that I'm less tired next adventure.
Yeah. Oh, parenthood.
Yeah, it's a lot doing all this stuff with a baby and a toddler. John, do you have any stars and or wishes?
Nothing immediately comes to mind on this one.
So okay.
Kind of half done.
That's
the fight anyway.
That's fine.
The wishes, I think a lot of the confusion of the armor is that it was presented as just, here's a piece of armor. And not that it was special in any particular way. So, which was what confused me on, but I've already got leather armor.
of a so finely crafted what, wasn't a strong enough cue.
No, I probably should learn a little bit better on those, pick up on those.
That is historically what myself and other DMs that I've played with, okay. when they say it is a finely crafted sword or a finely crafted piece of armor, that is the indication that it's something magical.
Special.
Okay, that is something that I will learn for the future then. The key word being finely crafted.
Finely crafted, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Then it's I will apologize
very
and feel better for next time.
Very finely crafted.
No worries. I mean, I would have said you find an ordinary suit of leather armor.
Okay.
If it were not magical.
Right.
But that's good to know.
Okay.
So learning has occurred.
Learning has occurred.
Greg, do you have any stars and/or wishes?
I think that it's been very interesting playing a very different type of character.
I love it.
And I'm having a good time with it. And I guess my wish is trying to find the right balance between being very out there and being my normal, not so...
Your normal player,
Agnes.
Yes, my normal non-aggressive self, so.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm learning.
It's all good.
It's awesome. I love it.
Part of,
part
of role play is stretching, and sometimes you stretch and something is awkward or doesn't land right. Like, we've all done it. It's all good.
I know I've done it. I mean, you were sitting in that DM chair being like, what's up with you, Miss Snooty Snoot? My last character, so. Sourpuss face.
Awesome. And thank
what
you.
About you, Mr. DM?
Stars and wishes? I mean, I liked the fight with the zombies simply because it's the first time that I've used the average damage. It was just two damage if they hit you or four if they critted, and all of that happened. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I've ever done average damage, and I thought it worked out great for a first level group of characters fighting like a horde of zombies. I think it worked great. So that
it was a really quick fight.
Yeah, it was quick. It was easy. So yeah, I like that a lot. Wishes? I don't know if there's anything in particular that I would have liked to have seen because I wanted to make sure that Greg got to do a descriptive part of the collaborative storytelling with the description of the zombie, and he did a great job with that. And everything else pretty much went the way that I thought it was going to go.
Is there anything you're hoping to see from any of us, like character-wise?
No, it's so early in the campaign. I mean, I'm looking forward to the character development and people getting to know each other as far as the character to character goes. So I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing how that works out.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, give me a magic item wish list if you'd like magic items.
No!
I put it under notes.
Nice!
It's only to your benefit.
Nine!
And you know, I mean, this is a little meta, but there's a good chance that I will try to give you some kind of a evolving magic item like I gave John, where I can give you something and then it just goes, it gets more powerful as you get more powerful.
So it doesn't become obsolete.
So it doesn't become obsolete. I don't have to keep throwing magic items at you because, again, I want them to be rare.
Yeah.
So if you have this cool magic item that's always with you and keeps growing with you, it's easier for me. It's lazier for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also, I still think it's fun to have the magic item grow.
Something with some flavor.
And power. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Something that travels best with you.
And if at some point down the line, if like I give you an item and you're like, I'm not sure if I like it that much, you know, then I could always find a way to modify it. You know, I mean, at any point I want you guys to tell me if, again, it's part of the stars and the wishes. If you're like, this really didn't resonate with me as much, something like this might have resonated more. That can include your magic item. If I give you a magic item and you're like, you put this ability on it that I think is irrelevant to my character, then let me know. And we'll try to work with it. So, awesome. Let's say goodnight to the listeners.
Good night,
everybody. Bye, listeners.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review anywhere this podcast can be found. Our social media links, plus additional content, can be found on our website at knightsofroleplay.com. Please tell your friends about Knights of Roleplay, an adventuring podcast, and spread the word through social media. Your help and support are greatly appreciated.